If you have your Bibles, when you get back to where you're supposed to be, let it open to Romans chapter 5. It should do that automatically. If you're using a device, I know it will. And let's look at Romans chapter 5. I'm going to only read two verses. You heard them last week, but I got to go back to these two verses. And I don't know, I think I can finish the first five verses in the book of Romans by Thanksgiving. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And the people said, Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you again for standing. I want to recap last Sunday real quick. How many of you ever been to a baseball game and went into extra innings? Come on, have you been? Have you ever been to a football game that went into an extra period? Did you enjoy it? Good, you'll enjoy today. Recall from last week that I started out talking about therefore. And I talked about that being a transitional word that indicated something was different about to happen. And then remember, I spent a lot of time, in fact, the bulk of the time I had last week, speaking to you on that little, two little words, but God. Because I transitioned from therefore to say that that always indicates that God is fixing to do something. That but God in Scripture that we talked about last week, that's when God intervenes. That's when God comes in among human beings and does something different. That's when God comes in and does something maybe that we don't expect. And every time I've ever seen revival, genuine revival, break out in the hearts and lives of people and in the church, or in those times when people don't expect it, and God shows up and they're receptive to him. That is what but God means. Then we talked about justification. I spent a lot of time talking about justification. I'll run through it right quick. Justification changed our standing with God. We are one thing, we come to Christ, and we're justified through Christ in our faith, and that changes our position. That changes our standing. That gives us a different position, a different outlook on who God is and what God does. Justification is by grace. I don't do anything to deserve it. I'm as sorry as anybody you can imagine. God just gives me what he gives me because of his grace. And his grace is a product of his love. We'll talk about that more later. Justification is received through faith. That word faith is believing. How many of you in this building believe in God? How many of you in this building believe in Jesus? How many of you in this building believe the Holy Spirit has free reign to move? So we're going to have fun today. We're going to have an exciting time because listen, Jesus Christ is received through faith, and we said last week, Jesus is the foundation of our justification. So I'm in right standing with God. My position has changed. I look different. I act different. I am different because God is in my heart. And Jesus Christ is founded there and founded my justification. The last thing that I mentioned last week, I want to expand on today. Justification brings peace with God. Today, I want to continue our journey into this chapter of the book of Romans and the book itself. And in chapter 5, I want to continue today and continue our journey and speak to you concerning peace with God. It's a product of justification, peace is, and it comes by faith. Take note of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, I want you to understand some basic things. I want to rehearse them. I want to say some things to you that you know already. You got to understand that way back at creation, when Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, everything was perfect. Everything was exactly as God intended it to be. God had a fellowship with Adam and Eve that was unmatched at any time. He walked with them and talked with them, and he was there in the garden with them and guiding their every step. Adam sinned. Well, Eve did, and then Adam did. And once Adam sinned, there was a war that started. And I want you to understand there was a war that started between heaven and hell. There was a war that started between evil and good. There was a war that began, and that war today rages in this city, in this town, in this building where we are today. That war is still going on. That's right. And that battle, I want you to understand, is a battle for your very soul. It's a battle for that which is eternal within you. These old bodies, they'll fade. Mine's fading fast. I feel it every day. These bodies will fail. They will fade. But listen, your spirit, your soul will abide in eternity somewhere. And those somewheres are vastly different. So we're looking for that day of eternity. We're looking for that day that this war will be over. But until that day, until the trumpet sounds, we're going to be in this battle. But I want you to understand something. There is a side that will prevail. And the side that will prevail is that side that is led by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every human being, I believe, you don't have to believe this way, it's just what I believe, it's Cooksey theology. I think the Bible teaches this, so you can be wrong. I believe with all my heart that our God sends His Holy Spirit to this planet to speak to the heart of every human being that has ever been born or ever will be born. And I believe that every one of us in this building, maybe you've had your opportunity already. Maybe you've received Christ as your Savior. But listen, humanity, once it's prompted by the moving of the Holy Spirit, you don't get up and decide, you know what, I think I'll get saved today. No, you get saved because the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door and says, hey, it's your turn. And let me tell you something, it may be your only turn. Sometimes we get a lot of opportunities. Boy, thank God I got a lot of opportunities in my life. But when the Holy Spirit knocks on our heart's door, it's your day, it's your time. But I want you to understand, the battle for your soul never ends until time ends. There's a side that will prevail, and it's the side that is headed up by Jesus Christ, who comes in the hearts and lives of men and women and saves them. He justifies them. He brings peace in their heart. The peaceful condition that Adam and Eve had in the garden was marred by sin. And you know, I can't pass this up. It's amazing to me that the first sin that got everybody in trouble, got all of us in trouble, it got every human being that ever lived in trouble, it's interesting to me, it's amazing to me, and I love the fact, I really love it, but because of who I am and what I believe, I love it. It was disobedience that caused the problem. I don't let you in on something. Your disobedience today, in this very place, in the next hour, your disobedience can make or break you. Your disobedience can make you what you should. You can obey God and be what you should be. You can disobey and not get what God wants to do. If you look a little further in the verses in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, listen to this. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. That is a pronunciation that was repeated from the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve went against God and sinned against Him. When that happened, sin fell, death came. And here's the thing. When you look at the New Testament, here's a proclamation right here that I just read to you, a pronunciation, if you will, that the peace that God intended us to have was shattered. And it was shattered by sin because sin fell. Paul points that Adam's sin affected a whole human race. In a nutshell, here's a sermon within a sermon. You ready? Some of y'all need to wake up. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you the greatest story that's ever been told. You didn't hear it. Adam sinned. Sin entered the world. Sin entered the world and death entered. In Adam's fall, humanity became separated from God and subject to sin and death. We are born to a fallen condition. Every one of us who get here, we get here in a fallen condition. And we sin personally the older we get. And Paul speaks about that division brought on by Adam in Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience, there's that word, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Also, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So Adam was the head of fallen humanity, and Christ is the head of redeemed humanity. I want to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam's sin brought sin and death upon everybody. Jesus Christ brings the opportunity for life, and not just life, but eternal life for everybody that will believe in Him. So I submit to you that if our souls are going to live forever in one place or the other, I prefer living with Jesus as opposed to living with the devil. My family and I went to a Forrest Frank concert. Most of the time I say Forrest Gump, and they laugh at me. We went to a Forrest Frank concert, and when we got there, security was pretty tight. Even at a Christian concert, I think they were there more thinking that may have to defend those of us who are going to that concert against some of the fools that might be out there in this world today. There was an empty box that showed up. Nobody knew it was empty. There was a box that showed up. And I want you to know that they gathered around that box like gathering up in a football huddle. And nobody could move around that box until one guy came in, had bomb squad on it. I wanted to leave. I thought, man, I don't know if I want to stay for this concert or not. And he got down there and very meticulously cut a little piece of tape on it and opened it up. It was a box. It was empty. Somebody turned it upside down. But it took a lot of precaution to that. When that guy got up with bomb squad across him, I noticed another guy standing there, and he had like an AR-15 assault rifle. He was standing there with that thing on his arm, and he had a bulletproof vest on and handcuffs, enough handcuffs to have handcuffed this section of people. And I looked at that man, I said, won't you do me a favor? He said, what's that, sir? You don't kind of mean stern, Bob. What's that, sir? I said, listen, if a dude comes walking up here in a red suit with horns on his head, shoot him first. The devil is after you. I don't know if you know that or not. There's a battle going on for your very soul. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have transitioned and given your heart to him, I want you to know the devil wants you more now than he ever has. And if he can trip you and bring you down, that's exactly what he wants to do. Adam brought sin and death. Jesus brings righteousness, which leads to justification and restoration, which brings eternal life to the one who comes to Jesus in faith. Following justification through faith, the saved, that's you and I. That's us who know that we know that we know. Because of justification, because of our faith, we have peace with God. Boy, peace is something everybody seeks after. Have you noticed that even now in the wars that have been going on, people want peace? The Jewish people have sought for peace since day one. We want peace in our nation. It seems like every time I open this iPad in the mornings early and I look at the news out of Houston, there's always a party that gets together, goes awry, and they shoot each other. There's people dying in the streets in our own city, our own nation. They're dying in the streets because this battle is still going on. We want peace. Well, friends, I want to tell you something. The peace that you can have with God is more than having a peaceful feeling or a peaceful atmosphere. Peace with God means that the war between the sinner and God has ended because Jesus Christ has accomplished the winning strike on the cross, and you and I are no longer enemies of the cross if you know that you know Christ. We're no longer in opposition to God because we accepted Christ and his finished work, and because of his finished work, we believe that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is real, and because of our faith in Jesus, we have what I so often ask God to remind me of time and time again. I prayed this morning. I prayed it in my heart, sitting over single. I've been praying in my mind right now. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, listen to this. Be anxious for nothing. For in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And look at verse 7 in Ephesians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we get peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of us in this building, say, I am included in everyone. I'm an everyone. Every one of us are an everyone. And every person that has ever been born on planet Earth, said it a few minutes ago, let me say it again. Every person that has ever been born on planet Earth is born into sin, separated from God. Some of you here today, even in this very building, might be separated. Our problem is it wasn't that God needed to change toward us. It was that we needed to be reconciled to him. See, God doesn't need to change. I'm the one that has to change. We need to get back to where he created us to be, and that was in a presence of his peace and in a presence of enjoying walking with him, being in relationship with him, being in relationship with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So God, through the death of his own son and through our faith, has allowed us to be in peace with him. So you and I get our peace from God in relationship with Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit. We are justified. We then have faith in him. We have faith in what God can do. And then peace falls over us and our life changes. Remember that peace comes through justification. We talked about that. We're justified by our faith in God. Paul says, having then been justified by faith, God declares that the believing sinner, the one who believes in Christ, not perfect. None of us are perfect. Is anybody here perfect? I'd like to ask you to leave if you are, because I'm not. So none of us in this place are perfect. And I'm telling you that coming to the Lord Jesus Christ does not make us perfect now, but I'll assure you, if you come to Christ, you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Jesus is the mediator between a holy God and sinful humans. One time I was called on by a judge. He called me and he said, Reagan, I need an expert. Oh, man, what are you calling me for? I'm not an expert in anything. He said, I need an expert in church life. Turned out there was a church over in Navasota that had a preacher they were trying to get rid of. He wouldn't leave for less than $100,000. I'm going to tell you all right now, he'd leave for less than $1 million. You understand? He wouldn't leave for less than $100,000. And they began to argue back and forth. Finally, he seized all the funds. And when he seized all the funds, they got up in arms and they said, you know what, we're going to sue you. So the judge, Bill McAdams, who's now gone, Bill said, I'm not going to try this in the court. I'm going to get some mediators. Myself and Benny Rush were the mediators. We met down there one Friday and we mediated back and forth. And that guy who said, I won't leave for less than $100,000 left with $1,000, went back to Houston. See, a mediator kind of sets the tone. Jesus Christ is our mediator. And I can tell you that you get more than $100. You get more than $1,000. I'm not talking about monetary things. You get a spirit-filled life, and you get peace with God when you know Christ. He has mediated that for us. Peace with God produces a peace within us. And once we know that we're accepted by God through Christ, we don't have to live constantly wondering. Yeah, you know, people come to me and they say, does God love me? Listen, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. Amen. People come to me in turmoil and tragedy. Sometimes I say, does God love me? Yes, God loves you. And once you have the peace of God in your heart, you know that. One guy said to me, have I done enough? I said, you must be going to another church. You don't have to do anything. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior, and he will fill you with his precious Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit will let you know that he has done enough. You don't have to. We have a foundation of peace to work from when we come to know Christ. And we have an overriding filter through which we can review our lives, daily lives. Our assurance rests in the finished work of Christ, not our perfect performance, but his. Because what he did was perfect. Let that soak in. Let this soak in. Peace with God comes before the peace of God flows. Do you get it? Peace with God comes before the peace of God flows. We are reconciled to God through Christ by faith. Then we experience the peace of God in our life if our conversion is genuine. So now don't make me doubt. Well, let me tell you something. If you say you know Christ, yet in your life there is not a peaceful foundation. Now, I'm not telling you everything's going to be gee whiz and hallelujah all the time. Have you noticed it's not sometimes? Yeah. I've noticed some times in my life where it just wasn't gee whiz and hallelujah, but I've never once doubted the peace that God has given me. So that peace that I have with God allows me to use that as a filter to look through, to filter everything in my life and know that I have a God who loves me and cares for me and will never stop doing that. I've been reconciled to him through Christ by my faith, and now I have peace that is there in my life. And that experience of peace of God in my life, in the circumstances of my life, causes me to realize that things are okay, even when they're not, because he's God. Absorb this. The war is over. The war is over. It's been won. There may be some battles. Sin started the war. The law revealed the conflict. The cross outside of Jerusalem, that there over 2,000 years ago, that cross settled the debt. It is paid in full. The debt of sin is paid in full. Faith receives that victory, and Christ gives us the peace that faith brings in our life. You believe in Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a foundation to move forward from. The war is over. We don't have to run from God, we run to him. That day when Adam and Eve had sinned, God came in the garden and said, where are you? So, man, some God didn't know where they were. Oh, God knew where they were. He knows where we are. You know what he wanted that day? This is my idea. You don't have to believe this. When God came in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? He knew exactly where Adam was. He could have walked over behind the bush and said, Adam, come on. You know what he wanted Adam to do? You hear me? He wanted Adam to acknowledge him. And listen, if God's speaking to you today, that's what he wants. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. But if he's calling out to you, then he wants you to know the score is settled. And he wants you just to receive him. And faith receives the victory that they have in Christ. Absorb that. Christ gives us peace through God. The war's over. You don't have to run from him. You run to him. The wonderful peace of God that floods the soul of the saved is an amazing, amazing thing. Peace with God is not just a feeling. It is a restoration, if you will. It's the restoration of a restored relationship. A restored relationship with God who created us for a peaceful relationship with him. And once we come to Christ, we can be at peace with God like he built us for. You realize that all of us are a product of God, and we have one purpose, to glorify him. And if we don't glorify him, we're not doing what we should be doing. So if we glorify him, then that peace that's in our heart begins to flow in our heart and move in our heart, and all of a sudden it's like a pot of water that starts to boil. All of a sudden, now you know what you're here for, and you're here to praise him. So if there are things in our life that don't praise him, if there are things in our life that don't lift up Christ, if there are things in our life that don't show that we have peace with God, those are the things we need to confess, do away with, and get them out of our lives. That restored relationship with God was created for us to have a peaceful relationship with God. Once we have that peace with God, we can experience the peace that God wants us to have. The greatest peace that I have in God is not a peace from trouble. Bow your heads and close your eyes right quick. Nobody's looking around. Are you listening? Are you paying? Don't be looking around, sir. If you had trouble this week, raise your hand. Put it right back now. Woo, put them down. Every one of us in this building, I'm having a little trouble right now. I'm having some physical difficulties in my body. I'm having some trouble right now, but listen to me. I'm not worried about the trouble that I have because even in the midst of the trouble that comes our way, because Jesus said you're in the world and there's going to be trouble, but take heart. I have defeated the trouble. I've defeated the world. So we can lean on Jesus Christ. And once we have the peace of God, we can experience that peace of God in our lives and we can move from trouble to peace, even though it may be trouble. We can have a peace in our mind in the midst of trouble. So we have a peace with God. And we live in an atmosphere of peace because of what God has done for us in the gift of his son. This peace of God comes from faith in God. Not faith that sits on the bench of life. You ever played athletics? I played regulation basketball in junior high. And I never got to go in. I shouldn't say that's a lie. I did get to go in one time. I was in there on regulation basketball, Jason, about 30 seconds. Double dribbled, walked, and fouled. I did something else. You know, I did three infractions in just a minute. You know what I did the rest of that season? Rode the pine. Sat on the bench. Let me ask you something. Are you sitting on the bench in life? Are you sitting on the bench in the kingdom? Because let me tell you something. God doesn't want you to be a bench warmer. Amen. He wants you to get up off the bench and get in life. You say, well, can I do that? Sure you can. If you know that you know that you know Christ, there's no limit to what you can do. So God desires that we would have peace with him, and the peace that we have in God comes from faith in God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith does not sit on the bench of life. All too often, I talk to a lot of folks. My wife gets on me sometimes for talking so much. She won't let me go in the store by myself. She said, if you go in there, you'll be in there 30 minutes because you're running somebody you know. I don't care if I know them or not. I like to talk to folks. I like to talk to y'all on Sunday morning. I told Brother Mike Blackmore, he's an officer earlier this morning, I said, you know, I praise the Lord that in this church people at least appear to pay attention. And when I ask them to participate, they do. Now, I know some of you are sleeping on me, but you'll wake up. I prayed the Holy Spirit would put something in your pants to make you get up. This peace with God comes from faith in God. It doesn't come from sitting on the bench of life. See, a lot of people don't know what God can do because they hadn't tried God. Up until the time I was 50, I tried to snow ski. I was really, really, really an accomplished failure in snow skiing. I know the gears changed a lot since we first started. My wife and I skied on a young adult class, you know, that's been a year or two ago, in Sandia, New Mexico. And when we went, they had them cables that were around your legs. So if your skis fell off, they wouldn't go too far. Now they got brakes on the skis. I tried my best to be a skier. Everybody that I went with skied real well. But somehow being in this position didn't do anything for me. I didn't like it. I tried it with everything that I had. And finally one day, I was coming down a mountain and I'd had heart surgery and we'd had lunch. And I went over to a guy on a lift. There was a big lift there and it went right straight down to the bottom of the mountain. I said, sir, is there any way that I can get, I'm kind of eyeing that lift. I said, is there any way I can get to the bottom without having to ski? He said, sir, if you just go right over there, there's a little old green slope you just go there, it's real easy. I said, you know, I had a heart surgery. Oh, sir, let me see if I can help you. I used that card. And they took me to the bottom of that thing. And I'm going to tell you something I did. I decided I would permanently sit on the bench when it came to skiing. From about here to maybe where Roy said, maybe a little further, I got there with those skis they'd get rid of me, and I threw them as hard as I could throw them in that van we were in. I took those stupid boots off that made me walk like this. I never put on another pair. I gave up. I quit. I got on the bench and skiing. Too many of God's people have given up. And they're sitting on the bench. And God wants us to be alive and well. And we can be that because of the peace we have in our heart. The peace of God comes from faith in God. And faith in God means you believe. And it's not faith that sits on the bench. If there's anything that I think we need prescribed to us, I went to my doctor, Trey Young, the other day. A little back problem, man. I'd walk a little bit and get kind of funny, you know. Trey said, you know, I can give you something, a little something to help you with that. And he gave me this little pill, that, you know, as big as I am. It was a little tiny thing. Wasn't even big as a pencil eraser. I took two of them. He said, you can take four a day. I took two of them. I'm done. I started taking one last night when I went to bed. And I thought, no, I don't get addicted to this. I am addicted to PM Excedrin. Sure makes you sleep good. See, this God of peace doesn't want you sitting on the bench. He wants you to trust him. And faith that is active, that is believing and trusting and obeying God, that's who gets to see God do great things. And some people say, I ain't seen God do nothing. You know why? It's because you hadn't looked. And you're not going to look till you get off the bench. Once you get off the bench and get in the game, it's amazing what God can do. Do you know the name Horatio Spafford Jr.? Horatio Spafford Jr. was the son of Horatio Spafford Sr. Spafford Sr. was a successful lawyer and a real estate tycoon in the city of Chicago in the 1870s. There's a predominant family here in Huntsville, or a couple of them, and I remember when kids we'd say if one didn't own it, the other ones did. And that was Spafford in Chicago. He owned everything. He was a lawyer. He kept buying real estate. In the 1870s, he was the man. Horatio Spafford Jr., his only son, got sick of some ailment. And they weren't sure what it was. And finally, a doctor came and said, you know, he has scarlet fever. And at 4 years old in 1868, Horatio Spafford died. Junior was no more. He didn't have a son. In 1871, Spafford had continued to accumulate wealth and continued to accumulate real estate. In fact, all along the shore of the big lake, the property was his. And in 1871, you know what happened in Chicago? There was a great fire. And you might say it started at one end of Spafford's property and went to the other. And in a matter of hours, Horatio Spafford plummeted to financial ruin. He had nothing. He had a dear friend named D.L. Moody. Moody had preached in Chicago, and Spafford had supported him and helped him. And finally, after he was ravished and the city was ravished and he plummeted into financial ruin in 1873, Spafford decided he'd go to England and just kind of get away for a month or so. So he went down to the docks and put his family on a steamship, and he was going to get on. And by the time he started to get on, he found out by some message that they needed him back in Chicago for some important decision that had to be made about some of the properties he had lost. Not wanting to prevent his family from having the rest, the relaxation they'd wanted them to have, he put his wife and four daughters on a boat, steamship. They left New York City. Spafford promised that he would join them soon, just in a few days. He made his way back to Chicago in November of 1873. Him being held back, he put his family on a French passenger boat sailing for England. Spafford said he would join his family in a few days. Tragically, somewhere out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, that boat crashed into another boat, and both those boats sank. The result was that 371 people lost their lives. There were a handful of survivors. The survivor that mattered most to Spafford was his wife. His children, his daughters drowned. She got to over into England, to Wales, and she sent a simple telegram. It would be like you and I send a text message today. It was only two words. Saved alone, she said. Spafford knew his girls were dead. He knew his family was decimated. He got on a ship bound for England so he could get there to his wife. And I want you to think about that. I get on an airplane right now, and I could be around the world in 24 hours. No telling how long it took them to get across the Atlantic Ocean from New York City to Wales, where his wife was. Spafford made his way over there. Somewhere along the way, the captain of the ship that he was on summoned Spafford to come to the helm of the ship. So he went up in the control room. He said, I wanted you to know, Horatio, that we're in the vicinity within a few hundred yards of where your wife's ship went down and where your children died. Spafford went back to the cabin that he was assigned. He took out a pen and a piece of paper, and he started to write. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Do you have peace that flows like a river? Do you have peace with God? Is it well with your soul? Are you at peace with Him? Father, I love you, Lord, and thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that is mine to be your preacher. God, I thank you because in my heart and my soul, I know that peace, God. And God, even though there are times of difficulty, there's times, God, that I don't understand. There's times in my life, God, I pray for things, I don't see them happen. But God, I praise you that down deep inside my heart, no matter what comes, no matter what awry comes down my way, God, I know that I have peace in my heart because of Jesus. And God, I offer that same peace to men and women gathered in this place today. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's one that's lost and without you, may today be that day that your Holy Spirit knocks upon the heart and invites them to come into your kingdom. And oh God, how I pray for their obedience to you. Maybe some here, God, that are so distant from you, they haven't felt your presence in a long time. It's not because you're not there, it's because they're not there. And I pray, God, they'd come running to you and have that peace restored. Maybe decisions, God, that hang in the balance that ought to be made, that God, you're just waiting so that you can empower lives of people. Lord, I pray that people in this building today might respond to you. Maybe to come to these altars, God, to the front of this building and kneel for a moment or two or an hour to pray and to seek that peace, God, that we know we want us to have. Holy Spirit, it is yours. Do with it as you see fit. I will praise you regardless of the outcome, because in my heart, I have peace that flows like a river. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together, all of us, feeling if God is speaking to you, it's your time. Would you come?